Valencia, the USA. I'm going to introduce to you Daniel Mock, who is the with the YMCA of Greater St. Petersburg, and then Jenny Huffelfinger, who is with the State Alliance of YMCAs. She leads our Florida statewide Pioneering Healthier Communities efforts. And basically, well, imagine, if you will, that there was a disclaimer, because I forgot to add that to our slide presentation. Apologize for that. Jenny leads our statewide efforts. Danielle leads a local effort in St. Petersburg, a community transformation grant effort. And so what I thought we'd do is allow them to share how a local effort has influenced some of the statewide work, and then we'll talk, and then I'll come back and talk about what's going on nationally as a combination of efforts, collective efforts, basically collective impact, if you will. And so without further ado, Danielle, I'll have you come up.
Thank you, Freddie. And like Freddie mentioned, my name is Danielle Mock, and I work at the YMCA of Greater St. Petersburg. And we were a local subawardee of the Community Transformation Grant from our national association, which is the YMCA of the USA. So we were one of seven in our cohort, and we are located in Pinellas County, Florida. Our target population was the city of St. Petersburg, which has a population of 249,000. It is urban, and it does remain heavily residentially segregated. It's referred to commonly as South St. Petersburg. And in that area, there's about 21 census tracts that make up what's referred to as Zone 5, and about 25% of the population living within that 5 zip code area are living below the federal poverty line, and it is home to the majority of the African American residents in St. Petersburg, the city of St. Petersburg. And the reason that we chose that community is as a result of the residential segregation that still exists. There are large gaps in accessible services. It's referred to as a food swamp because it is an urban area, and there is food available, but not great food. And then it is our primary service area of the YMCA of Greater St. Petersburg. Three of our four facilities and the majority of our 25 programming locations are located throughout that area. So through our coalition work, we convened area hospitals, Pinellas County Health Department, neighborhood leaders from the Front Porch CDA, Churches United for Healthy Congregations, and the Florida Black Nurses Association to help us decide what we were going to concentrate on in the project. And we specifically chose bridging the clinic's community gap and influencing organizational policies surrounding healthy eating and physical activity for children. And for our Bridging the Clinic's Community Gap work, we decided to work with local hospitals to operationalize the referral process to the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And through our work with child care sites, not including ours, but then also others out in the community, we looked at organizational policy changes and then what that looked like from policy to program implementation. So what we were really looking to do is shift the nutritional quality of food being served in after-school and early learning environments, and then also moving the needle in terms of outdoor play, moving it from just opening the gate and letting the kids run outside and play and seeing what happens to moderate to vigorous physical activity. This is just a quote that we had from one of our partner physicians. I thought that was really quite interesting, and I really loved what Donovan was talking about from the National Reach Coalition, because that was exactly our experience. When it came down to it, if we didn't operationalize the referral process within the institution, really nothing happened. And we experienced that. We went out and we spoke with over 19 physician practices, and only the seven that operationalized the referral process really became those that were referring. We were awarded around August of last year. We were the second cohort to run through the CTG, I believe, at the national level. So from that time to date, we've actually had 346 pre-diabetics referred into the program. And what we've noticed in our evaluation is that we've actually had greater success in weight loss for the participants that are referred by a physician as opposed to those who just walk in and meet risk criteria. So there is certainly evidence supporting those that are referred by a physician into the program having better outcomes. What I really wanted to focus on a little bit more was the healthy eating and physical activity standards in school settings and after school and early learning facilities. It was really important for us to leverage this to secure private funding so that we could actually improve upon what we were doing within our programs. And thanks to our friends at the Aetna Foundation, we were able to do that. And we hired a certified personal trainer to come in. we took the policies and we implemented those policies first that were kind of no-brainers, those that didn't cost any money, eliminate screen time, work with our partners to change our site sponsorship for our USDA-funded programs so that we can improve the nutritional quality of food. We did that through partnering with our school district. And then they became our site sponsor for the after-school meals program and our SFSP. We actually rolled out a dinner program to 19 Title I schools in the community. So no longer are we just serving food, but it's high-quality, nutritionally enhanced food. And then through that, also the other child care providers that are in schools that aren't the schools that we're located in, they also then, after we rolled it out, were able to roll it out. And we decided to use ourselves as the example. We let ourselves make the mistakes first, and then we use that as an example out in the community when we're talking with other child care providers so that we could share with them, you know, what our successes were and how we achieved those successes. And it was really important for us to measure what those outcomes look like so that we could go out into the community and talk with the other providers so that they understood that by linking outcomes to this work, they could then draw down funding from private agencies as well. So it was a lot more convincing to have other agencies sign on to adopt policies once they could see that there was a real benefit to their organization, beyond just that for the children. So we completely redefined the nutrition and physical education activities within our programs and then measured the improvements. We decided to use the FitnessGram assessment, which is free and readily available, and actually great outcomes. And we also, what we found was if we found advocates within partner organizations, we let them put their boots on the ground for us. So it sounded a lot better as opposed to, you know, coming from essentially what's your competition in the childcare world, even though, you know, we couldn't all serve all the children if we wanted to, but sometimes it's looked upon that way. So we got the health department and All Children's Hospital to essentially adopt HEPA objectives into their community health improvement plans. So it goes beyond just our coalition. It's now spread to other coalitions out in our community. And I really wanted to humanize this for a second. So we have lots of numbers and lots of statistics behind what that looks like at the local level, but you could take it down a step further, and then we can talk about, you know, what it means for one child. And this particular child, her name's Aaliyah. And these were her pretest results. She scored a 62% on her nutrition pretest. She was unable to do curl-ups or push-ups, and she scored a 3 on trunk lift. In the beginning, she was generally uninterested in the after-school program and any of the physical activity that we had implemented and the nutrition. By the time her post-test, she scored 100% on her nutrition, 18 on curl-ups, 13 push-ups, and a 6 on her trunk lift. Not only did she decide to want to participate in the program, she became a leader in her group. She won the beanbag relay race for the kindergarten age group, and her overall confidence in the program improved. And I just wanted to, you know, point out that these children have a face. You know, what we do matters, and it all starts with policy. And if we can move that into what happens in program, then, you know, we can make a difference for a lot of Aaliyahs. You know, we were able to do that. These are kids at the Harbordale YMCA facility eating cauliflower, broccoli, and carrots dipped in hummus. this is the first day of our meals program being launched, so these are our children. If you notice, there's a salad and 1% milk with no chocolate or strawberry. This is Build Your Own Boot Camp. You'll notice there's a young lady at the front leading her class in those exercises. And then some of our kids don't have outdoor play space, but it doesn't mean to say that you can't participate in moderate to physical, vigorous physical activity. So, you know, these are the faces that we're helping every day. So. Thank you, Jenny.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to talk about our statewide Pioneering Healthier Communities project. And while we're obviously not a CTG-funded community, we are funded by the YUSA through grant funds from Robert Wood Johnson. And YUSA has been supporting local Pioneering Healthier Communities for 7 to 9 years, I think. And they just started funding state alliances of YMCAs to do this work about 2 years ago, and we were lucky to get the funding from them. The first thing that we did was to engage coalition members from around our state. So we looked at best practices and examples of what we needed to do. Our project is intended to reduce childhood obesity. That's our only focus as it relates specifically to the Robert Wood Johnson six areas that they're focusing on to reduce childhood obesity. So wanting to really kind of make the link to our CTG project in Pinellas that Danielle talked about, we're really looking to learn from them and look at their successes and what's been helpful in Pinellas County to promote policy change. And this isn't the first time Pinellas has been a leader in our state. Pinellas County, probably 10 years ago, supported the 150 minutes of active playtime during the school year, during the school week, 150 minutes per week. And they had that legislation in place before the state adopted it, which was a year later. So they are actually a really good leader and very progressive in their activities. Robert Wood Johnson has three goals that they want their awarded sites to look at. We picked these two: increasing time intensity of and duration of physical activity in school day and out of school programs, and increasing physical activity by improving the built environment. When we first pulled our coalition together, our coalition includes the typical state agencies that you would think: health, education, our child welfare organizations. It also includes Medicaid program, a number of community partners, as well as heart and cancer associations. And we brought all these folks together to do some strategic planning around what our project was going to look like. We looked at a policy scan. We used BRFS data and YRBS. The data I have listed here is actually the data that we used at the time, which was a year and a half ago. We were funded in 2013, and this was the most readily available data. So I know there's better data out there today, but this is what we used. And so we looked at the data, and we looked at what the Robert Wood Johnson criteria were, and then we came up with six different objectives. And the two biggest ones I'm going to focus on here is our shared, or what's referred to as joint use legislation, and healthy eating and active living standards. And Danielle talked a little bit about those. So for healthy living and physical activity, healthy eating and physical activity standards, it's what Danielle mentioned, getting some common sense practices put in place into different settings where children participate in after school activities. Right now in Florida, we have 92% of our YMCAs who have adopted these standards, and that was our first goal, was just to get adoption in year one. And we actually know it's 100%, but our data from a recent evaluation showed that they could only document 92%. But we have 24 YMCA associations across the state, and so 92% within the first year we still feel is pretty good. Our second level that we were going to reach out to were 21st century school programs and then early learning centers. We provided what we call HEPA mini grants to five YMCAs and or after school programs run by 21st century schools. They focused mostly on beverage, water as the beverage of choice in after school programs. Our physical activity kits to schools, we actually provided fairly substantial kits to eight different schools throughout our state to have these teachers use physical activity, use this equipment during the school day to increase physical activity, because we know they're not getting the 150 minutes as they should. We also have training commitment by our Department of Education. Our children and family is willing to do training for our early learning centers, and then our Action for Healthy Kids partners. So we are trying to work with these to take our HEPA standards to the next level. We also created a joint or shared use video this year, which we shared broadly across the state to try to encourage local communities to adopt joint or shared use. Right now we have a law in Florida that is a permissive bill. We were trying to create this bill so it took away gross negligence. Some of the keys to our success, and it's hard to look at success when you're only a year and 3 or 4 months into a program, a coalition, but some of the things that we looked at, we have had a lot of activity this year, is having the right people at the table, and I think this is true of all of the different local coalitions, state-level coalitions, or national coalitions, making sure the right people are at the table. And we had local people, have local people on our team, as well as some national folks who participate at the state level, such as Safe Routes to Schools. We also are looking, we've always had a local PHC person on our team, And we did that intentionally to help us keep our policy and our actions real. And so we are working with St. Pete, you met Danielle, and then we're also working with Broward County, which is Fort Lauderdale, who passed some meaningful local level ordinances. And then a few other things is inviting some of the state leaders, our House and Senate reps, to some of our meetings and sharing the joint use video throughout the state. Our next step is to take these activities, HEPA and joint use, a little bit further to make sure that all children have the opportunity to move more and eat smarter where they live, play, and learn. Thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to Freddie.
All right, so I just wanted to wrap up real quick with a national overview, and you may say, why is the YMCA involved in this kind of work? Why would the CDC fund the YMCA of the USA to be a, why would they pick them as a national org? Well, we have over 900 branches across the U.S., and over 70% of the population lives within 10 miles or 10 minutes of a YMCA, and so we have a lot of reach. Over 250,000 full and paid time staff, over 554,000 volunteers. And so when you talk about folks on the ground getting involved and engaged in work that's going to create healthier communities, the Y becomes a great partner. This is just a map of where we have funded sites doing this work. So over 247 local communities doing this work in 20 states. And so these sites and states have done quite a bit of work. Over 39,000 changes, whether they be organizational level or legislative level. And so over 39,000 changes impacting over 73 million folks, so up to 73 million folks in a variety of areas, from improving access to healthier foods to improving access to places for physical activity to the kind of work that Danielle was talking about, improving the nutritious foods in our after-school settings. And so we're excited about the work that's going on. We look forward to, you know, the Y's in it for the long run. I don't know how much time we have left. I won't go through these leading practices, but I will share that our national vision and our strategic plan for 2014 to 2017 has us continuing this type of work. And so we're committed to this work regardless of what funding comes in and out. Looking at making sure all individuals have the opportunity to live healthy lives and that we increase health equity across the U.S. And so that's a priority for us, decreasing chronic illness. And supporting the aging is also a priority when it comes to our healthy living strategy. So we're excited. We, in your communities, if you have not already partnered with your local Y, you know, reach out to them. And if you need contact info, reach out to me, let me know, and I can make the connection for you. Thank you.